So, we are very thankful. So I want to start with a prayer. Lord, you are an awesome God, and we give you praise. We give you praise for being our creator. Thank you, Lord, for the beauty outside, and thank you for all the evidence of a designer in all the nature that is in Alaska. Father, we thank you. And thank you, Father, that this room is filled with people who, when they look upon nature, understand that there is a designer behind all of this nature, all of this beauty. Thank you, Father, for your design. Thank you for the design of the human body, how we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And thank you, Father, for giving us brains to be able to use, Father, to understand more and more how you've designed our bodies so we might be able to help others. Thank you, Father, for Dr. Humphreys and for his passion for surgery and his compassion for allowing us to have this surgery done before he went to Kenya. Father, I pray that you bless him in Kenya and all of his staff there, Father. May this just be a time that brings great glory to the church in Kenya, Father. May people who couldn't have surgeries otherwise be able to have those and to be able to feel better. Please bless that movement, that mission, and bless missions that are going on all around the world, Father. So many people this very day, Father, serving you, Father, often in awful, awful, awful circumstances, people that are being persecuted, Father. We pray that you bless them. Bless the Christians in China that are being persecuted, the ones in North Korea, the ones in the Middle East, Father. There's been talk of Saudi Arabia this week, Father, and even though Saudi Arabia is not high on the persecution list, we have to understand, Father, it's because there's no Christians there. And Father, I pray that Saudi Arabia would open up now, that there'd be a chance, Father, for people to be able to come and tell those people about Jesus, Father. May the Muslim world come to know Jesus, Father. May all of the world know Jesus. And Father, help us this morning as we come before you, as we sing songs of praise, as we bow before you, as I preach, Father, that we give you glory and that we would be inspired, Father, to go out and let others know about Jesus. Father, help us to be lights in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, I want to also have a big thank you because I've already been pointed out the socks back there in the back that you have been collecting for folks in Ukraine. You would not believe how important that is for people in Ukraine, and perhaps right now more than ever, because there is a huge refugee movement going on. There's Donetsk, where Violetta is from, is a city of just over 1 million people. We can't know for sure now what the population is, but it looks like it may be less than half that amount now because of people who have just ran away, have trying to get away from there. There's refugees all across western Ukraine. Those people often don't have much, and just the clothes on their back. And so your socks that you've collected, it'll be helping out refugees, it'll be helping out orphans. The socks you buy in Ukraine, I've probably talked about this before, it's unbelievable. I don't know, they have other pretty good clothes, but when it comes to socks and underwear, they need a new designer because they don't last long. A week or so, if you wear them every day, I think you're probably looking for a new pair of socks. And so it's a great blessing. So we take so much for granted. I don't know how many different, you know, I just this morning I said, okay, I want this shade or that shade or this warmth or that. You know, we take things so much for granted, and we need to be thankful for those things. We have a few slides that I do want to show you. And we had a few more, but I'm not very technically oriented and didn't quite have it set up right. But thank you for helping us out here. Okay, here we go. So the Donetsk area, and I don't care if somebody wants to hit the lights back there that's so you can see better. I don't care if you see me. It's probably better to see some of this. Well, I know it's better to see this. Okay, thank you very much. So the Donetsk airport. This is the way the airport looked last January when Violetta flew to Ukraine. And you may remember some of you who at that time, she went over to help with a big music festival they were putting on. It was a Christian music festival and just like a folk festival, trying to gather people. And it was a huge success. They had lots of people come it was basically a Christmas festival. And this is the way it looked. Let's see the next slide. This is it now. Actually, this is kind of exaggerated. This is not it now. That's not even there now. This was about a month ago. It's gone now. The buildings, everything. It's a beautiful airport, state-of-the-art kind of airport. They were proud of this place, and now it's reduced to this. Amazing thing. There's some Ukrainian soldiers who are still in the rubble of this place, still alive, not wanting to give up the airport. And that kind of endurance is amazing. I don't know what their faith is, if they're Christians, but just the idea that they would stick with it is somewhat inspiring to me, or it should be inspiring to us, that even in our darkest hour that we try to hold fast. But it has basically been taken over by the pro-Russian rebels. The way it works in Ukraine is the eastern part of Ukraine is predominantly Russian citizens. That being because during the time of Stalin, the Ukrainians that were in eastern Ukraine, which is a huge farming area and coal mining district, those people, if they did not knuckle down under the Russians, and that wasn't happening very easily, they were either killed or shipped off to Siberia. There's all kind of guesses on how many Ukrainians were killed during this basically purging time. We often hear about Hitler and 6 million Jews. It sounds like at a minimum there was twice that many people killed in Ukraine during this period, 12 million. Numbers up to 30 million have been put out there of how many people were killed. And so what then Stalin did, he got rid of the Ukrainians in the area that he wanted and then brought in Russians to fill their place. And so now there's Russians there. And those Russians naturally would be very pro-Russian. And yet there's still Ukrainians there, and it's still Ukrainian land, even though Russians were brought in. And so that's where the big dispute has taken place, wherever you're at on that. Violetta is extremely pro-Ukrainian. She is involved in with a news group over there that helps to try to let people know what the truth is instead of just propaganda all the time. There's so much propaganda. Propaganda is amazing that comes out of Russia. And this is not meant to be an anti-Russian lesson. I'm not very happy with the Russian government, I'll guarantee you right now. With Vladimir Putin, I'm not at all pleased. I try to pray. I pray, you know, that he would change, that his heart would be changed, and those in control there would be changed. The Russian people, in my opinion, have been duped in many ways. And the reason they're being duped is because of the heavy propaganda. I'm going to give you an example. Some of this stuff was going to sound like Keystone Cops, but here about 6 months ago, the pro-Russians, of course, they have their web pages, they have Facebook, email, all this sort of thing. And one of their pages, they are showing that we now have proof for sure that there are Russian troops on the ground. There are American troops on the ground in eastern Ukraine helping out the Ukrainians. And so the Russians are just all in arms. The Americans are sending all these people, sending troops to Ukraine. And so they even show a picture that they have. And it's a picture of an American soldier carrying a wounded American soldier on the battlefield. But when you look closer at the picture, it's Tom Hanks carrying Bubba in Forrest Gump. Yeah. Yeah. Someone responded and said, "Oh, this is a great picture, but we wish you had video." Someone else responded, "Watch the movie." As laughable as that is, that's the sort of thing they're just hit with again and again and again. The Malaysian jet that was shot down over Ukraine. Do you know what the Russian propaganda, government propaganda is on that? That plane was filled with corpses sent from Western Europe and America to make them look bad when they shot it down. All the people were already dead on the plane when it got shot down. Of course, we know that's to be just a complete lie. And yet that sort of thing is happening all the time. And when that's all you hear, that's what you believe. It's a form of brainwashing again and again and again. Do you know that Vladimir Putin in Russia has over an 80% approval rating? And the rest of the world, it ain't 80%, I'll guarantee you. It's, I'll say, pretty much reversed in those numbers. And yet, the people don't know. In fact, this is not to be bash the Russians, because Violetta's mother is pro-Russian. She was raised in Russia. Her mother lives in Russia. She's very much pro-Russian. Violetta's very much pro-Ukrainian. They're on Skype together all the time. Guess what? They don't talk about politics. But you know what they talk about? Is how to get socks to people who need them, how to get food to people that need them. And I'm very thankful that I have that sort of mother-in-law and that sort of wife. Let's see the next picture. Basically, this is a little shocking for me. Now, you think, oh, well, it's just an emblem. It is just an emblem, but what it says here in English, the translation, would be Russian Orthodox Army. Okay. I'm not here to bash other Christian faiths, but the Russian Orthodox Army is controlled by the Russian Orthodox hierarchy in Moscow. They say they are the only true church. Any other church, if you call themselves Christian, are to be eliminated. That's what's happening right now in Donetsk. The church that we've done so much missionary work in, the Petrovsky Church of Christ, that church, the building has been totally confiscated. They no longer have anything to do with that building. They can't have it. Although there is some rumor that there might be a chance of getting at least some use of it back later in the spring. But basically, they just said, you're done. There's a church van we bought for them years ago. We're over there. And the pro-Russian rebels just said, oh, that's now our van. And if you argue, well, you can imagine. Just yesterday, there was a statement issued by the pro-Russians there who are very much pro-Russian Orthodox Army. That's what they often wear on their sleeve. Stated, we have good news. Now, when I hear good news, you know, from a Christian perspective, I got to feel most of you are thinking good news. What good news should be is the gospel of Jesus. That's the good news. Their good news? We're attacking people and killing people everywhere. Folks, that's not good news. That's not good news. It's good news for him, this person who posted this, but it's horrible news. So how in the world do we get to that point? How does this happen? Just a couple years ago, even last year, a year ago, Violetta was there. She was working with a church, particularly with the Petrovsky Church of Christ, and also a church called Cup of Life Church in downtown Donetsk. And they were doing all these wonderful outreach things, people coming. And yet, of course, in Kyiv at that time was when the Maidan thing was going on. Remember seeing that on television where, you know, they've got the square taken over and barricaded and all this fighting or the resistance taking place there. But in Donetsk, we're having a Christian festival. Now that's totally outlawed. You can't do that at all. There was a group. Let's go ahead and go to the next photo, just because I'm tired of watching it. Okay, this is the Petrovsky Church of Christ. Violetta's mother right here, Luda. There's Violetta. This was last January when she was there. And this is Violetta's stepdad, Vitaly. And this is the group. I know many of these people very well, just a lovely group of folks. They're no longer meeting here. They are still meeting, but they're meeting in secret, basically hid out in very small groups. Just last week, we were talking to Luda on Skype, and they were meeting in her apartment, getting ready to meet in her apartment, which is amazing, because about 2 months ago now, Luda's apartment was hit by, they haven't decided for sure what kind of shelling it was, if it was some sort of missile or whatever. Originally, I thought when we first got the report, it had hit the neighbor's apartment only and blew out the windows out of her apartment. As it turns out, it actually hit her apartment, and there was shrapnel that was embedded in the chair that she had just been sitting in a few minutes ago, and the shrapnel throughout the apartment. but they're still trying to meet. They're still trying to serve. But what has happened when you go from this open kind of fellowship to now they're meeting in secrecy? Well, John read to us there from Acts chapter 9 with Paul and with the Apostle Paul, how that he thinks he's doing right. He's doing something good. You read later, and Paul says he did everything in all good consciousness. His conscience was clear. What he was doing, felt that he was doing for the Lord. He was doing for his Jewish community. He was working hard. He's going to get rid of these Christians. He's going to get rid of these people who don't do things the way he thinks they should be done. And he goes after them. And of course, we just read the whole, or part of the rest of the story, as he meets Jesus on the road to Damascus, on the same road that he's wanting to go to persecute people, in the same city he's wanting to go persecute, is where then Jesus says, yeah, go on to Damascus, and I got a plan for you. And the plan is for him to meet Ananias. And for Ananias then to be able to talk to him and tell him. And yet Ananias at first is like, whoa, when he hears from the Lord that he's going to be talking to Saul, the name before he's named Paul. He's heard about Saul. He's probably heard he's coming to Damascus. He's probably even worried about him coming to Damascus. And God's saying, oh, you need to meet Saul. And Ananias' first reaction is really not all that positive in the sense of, Lord, this is Saul? This is the guy who goes around killing Christians. And you want me to talk to him? And yet, God says yes. And Ananias then does as God directs. He meets with Saul. He baptizes Saul. Saul becomes an amazing servant of Jesus Christ. And an amazing servant. What we didn't read is in 2 Corinthians. This is in chapter 11, beginning in verse about halfway through verse 23. Paul talking to the Corinthians about himself. Kind of embarrassed the way he's talking. Embarrassed to be boasting. But needing to teach them that there is somebody working and there's someone working hard. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent the whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers, but are not. I have worked hard and long, and during many sleepless nights, I have been hungry and thirsty, and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Paul has reached a point when he's speaking to the Corinthians, a point in his Christian growth and Christian life, that what is normal, what once would have been normal, is no longer normal. He has now reached a different kind of normal, a different type of normal. For him, normal one time would to be go out and beat Christians. And now it's normal to be beaten for being a Christian. A complete change. Just see the next slide. This is Luda again, Violetta's mother. And this is an older lady. I can't remember her name, the sister. I believe she's passed away now. Luda's job is going around helping people that are sick and shut-ins. And she's just been amazing at that. Bombs are going off every day around Luda, around Donetsk, around the district of Petrovsky. And every day, she's still going out and seeing shut-ins. And you talk to her about it on Skype, and she goes, you say, how you doing, Luda? And she's going, oh, we're doing good. You know, everything's good. And we're like, well, we just heard he got bombed. Oh, yeah, we got. And she's reached a different level of normal. Life for her is normal. Now, for a lot of people around there, it's normal. Even the ones that aren't Christian. Okay, it becomes normal that you got bombs dropping around you. But there's a difference in Luda and in these people who don't know Jesus. The people who don't know Jesus and think this is normal, this is just normal, and we're all going to end up dying, or it's just awful. Luda's idea is normal is it's normal just to keep serving Jesus, no matter what the situation is. That's what's normal, is to serve Jesus. Next picture, please. This man's name is Sasha, and his wife is Sveta. Sasha lives in downtown Donetsk. Here about, it's been 4 or 5 months ago, he was picked up by the Ukrainian army. They didn't know who he was. What he'd been doing was helping smuggle people out of Donetsk, getting them out of there so they wouldn't be killed. A lot of the Christians have been involved in that sort of thing. People that are trying to escape and can't escape, they help to get them out of the city. He's picked up by the Ukrainian army, and he's very pro-Ukrainian, but they don't know. Everybody looks the same. And so they have to put him in prison for a short while. But their prisons are so full by now, what they've done is they've just taken and dished out a big hole, just a big pit, outdoor pit. And that's where they put Sasha with a bunch of other people, a bunch of other guys, just waiting to be processed, basically. While Sasha's in the pit, Sasha's so excited because he's got all these guys he can preach to about Jesus. That's what Sasha did in the pit. In the pit, when he could have just said, oh, why am I in a pit? I'm not even with these guys. I'm Ukrainian. I'm pro. He's not worried about if he's pro-Ukrainian or who's pro-Russian or who. All he's worried about letting them know about Jesus. Because you see, it doesn't matter if the Ukrainians win or if the Russians win. It doesn't matter if in America the Democrats win or the Republicans win. What matters is who wins. And who wins is those who have Jesus. Those are the winners. Paul understands that. Paul understands that to be a winner, you got to have Jesus. I'll go from beating them and murdering them to being one that's being beaten and maybe murdered for Jesus. Tradition tells us that he was murdered for Jesus. He stood up for Jesus because he understood that was the normal thing to do. We live in a society that keeps telling us talking about the new normal. I really don't like that phrase because I know what much of it carries. The new normal. There is no new normal. There's the normal world, and there's the normal God. There's God's way of normality, and there's the world's way of normality. And we have to stop and say, what am I doing? Where am I? Am I normal? Normal by whose standards? I got to tell you, I was a bachelor for 20 years. Got married when I was 38 years old. I thought the way I did things were pretty normal. And then I found out, this was amazing, that skillets and dinner plates are not the same thing. Well, you need dinner plates. I got the skillets right here. It's big enough, we can share. What I thought was normal was not normal at all for Violetta. And I've adjusted my normal in my marriage. And we, as Christians, are often caused to adjust our normality, what we think is normal. Paul didn't instantly start getting beaten. He wasn't beaten automatically just because he became a Christian. Paul started getting beaten because he went out and started telling people about Jesus. Because the normal thing to do if you become a Christian is you go tell them why you became a Christian. The normal thing to do is if you know Jesus Christ is to let people know about Jesus Christ. That's the normal thing to do. And so then we have to stop and look at ourselves and say, am I being normal or am I being abnormal? Because if I'm a Christian and I'm not telling anybody about Jesus and I'm not trying to stand up for Jesus, that's not very normal. It's not normal at all. That's the world's normal. The Jesus normal. Jesus tells us what's going to be normal. He says, you stand up for me, guess what? You're going to get persecuted. When's the last time I was persecuted for standing up for Jesus? I have some people say, well, I don't believe that stuff. Well, you're silly for believing that stuff. And then I look at Sasha standing in a pit preaching to people that probably hate him. A lot of these dudes, because they are pro-Russians and they know he's a pro-Ukrainian, but he's telling about Jesus because Jesus transcends all that junk and all the politics. One of my great irritants amongst my Christian brothers and sisters is for the first thing that they identify themselves, the first way they identify themselves is as whatever political affiliation they are, and then as a Christian. I'm a Republican Christian, or I'm a Democrat Christian, or I'm an independent Christian, or I'm a... You're supposed to be a Christian. That's the first thing. And do you know how much that undermines our witness? You go up and say, I'm a Republican Christian, to a Democrat, how much a Democrat atheist? What luck you think you're going to have? You've already put extra barriers, a whole nother block right in front of you. We need to say, I don't care what you are, what your political affiliation is. I want you to know about Jesus. That's what we need to know. That's what we need to tell people. And we just get it all confused. We get it so confused. The next slide, please, which is the last slide that we have here. This is mainly the One Cup Church of Christ in Donetsk, Ukraine. That's about the entire size of the church right there. That's pretty much it. Now, I think there's probably a few guests in there. This gentleman here, Victor, he's the preacher there. When things started going bad last spring, especially this past summer, this little church said, you know what needs to happen? We need to pray. That's what those signs are, is about praying. The need to pray. And they started telling people in Donetsk, we need to pray. And you know what? Before long, there were 1,000 people a day coming and praying with this group in downtown Donetsk. They're no longer able to do that. While they were praying one time, a pretty large group of them praying, one of the rebels who hates anything to do with anything that's not exactly what he believes came running up and stabbed one of these people to death while they're praying. While they're praying. Guess what? They're still praying. They're still praying. They can't do it publicly because they're going to get shot. They can't get in that big circle. But it amazes me still yet that this little group of people made a huge impact, and that impact continues on today. No, they're not able to meet in this big group in downtown Donetsk, but this prayer group has spread all across Ukraine because of this few people who said, we need to pray. There are people praying all over Ukraine. Some people go, oh, well, yeah, well, it's not doing much good. Look at this mess. And yet there are still people coming to know Jesus in the middle of this mess. There's an old story. I may have used that here before. Comes, I think, from Arizona with a story. I've told this to be a true story. I don't know. You know, some of these stories, but it's a good story. Okay. It's a story of a dad and a mom who have 3 sons. And these 3 sons are raised in a church. But these three sons are not very faithful sons. In fact, they're a wild bunch. These three are into everything. They are troublemakers. They're rousers. They're just crazies. And everyone knows them for that. They're out drinking. They're out just carrying on all the time. And one day, they're out messing around, and one of the brothers gets bit by a rattlesnake. He gets bit by a rattlesnake, and he nearly dies from the bite. But he survives. His parents get him to the doctor. They get him taken care of, and he survives. And the very next Sunday that he's able, that he's well enough, guess where he's at? He's with his parents at the worship service of that church, which he hadn't been to in a long time. The preachers asked if he will pray for the other two brothers. And he does. He says, "Dear Lord, please send two more rattlesnakes." Right now, Ukraine is in the midst of the rattlesnakes. And yet, there are people coming to Jesus because of people like this. And like Luda, and like Sasha, and like many, many, many more that I can name right now. Because they're still standing up for Jesus. And when they go and deliver those socks you have back there, they're not going to just be for other Christians. They're going to give those socks to people who are just cold. They just need some socks on their feet. And they're going to tell them where those socks came from. They're not going to tell them exactly. They're just going to say these came from our Christian brothers and sisters. And they might say the Christian brothers and sisters in Alaska. I don't know. Sometimes not. But they're going to know it's because of Jesus that they've got some socks to put on. And that's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for that. But what else can we do? Not just for Ukraine, but for our own community. There's probably somebody in our community right now that could use some socks, could use a coat, could use something, but definitely could use the love of Jesus. Could use someone who's not afraid to stand up, not afraid, okay, I may get beaten, I may get whipped, but I still got to stand up for Jesus. Is that the kind of normal that we have? Is that who we are? Is that who I am? And I have to say them many times, it's not. The normal thing is just to be quiet. The normal thing for me is to go climb a mountain someplace and just leave the world behind. That's normal for me. But normal for God? Guess what? I've been able to climb those mountains before for God, because I've taken people along that didn't know God, and we've been able to have this wonderful, wonderful talks about Jesus on mountaintops. That doesn't get much better than that for me. Talking about Jesus on a mountaintop to someone that doesn't know Jesus is pretty cool. There is one thing better. That's being on a mountaintop singing praises to God with other brothers and sisters, and hopefully with someone that doesn't know Jesus too. What's your normal? What they say to do is pray. Are we praying? Are we praying for Ukraine? Are we praying for Kisilov? Are we praying for our president? And by the way, I'm not a big fan of our president, but you know who I pray for? I pray for President Obama. I don't pray for just Obama. I pray for President Obama because we need to show respect. We need to be a people who are intentional about caring. I pray that President Obama, that some of his policies that I really don't agree with, that he will see what's wrong with those policies and want to change those. And I pray that people will be put next to President Obama that he respects, that will help to change those situations. Let's pray. Let's pray for the people that are shooting at these folks right now. Just pray for the people that are running up and trying to stab them right now. Just pray that they would know Jesus. They've got it right. We are a people, when all else fails, we pray. That's great. But you know what? The prayer should start. The prayer should be the first thing we do, not just the last. It should be the first, the last, and everything in between. We need to pray together. Let's pray. Father, you are truly awesome. And you are truly awesome, Father, when we look and realize that there are people, Father, there are people, Lord, that seem so far from you and are so full of hate that can be changed by you, can be changed by your Son, Father. The Apostle Paul was not always the Apostle Paul. He was Saul, the holy terror, is the way so many people would have thought of him. Father, thank you that Saul was converted. Thank you for the Apostle Paul. Thank you for him being willing to stand up, for allowing himself to be beaten, for him to just continue to preach the word of Jesus. Father, help us to take that example. Help us to take the example of Jesus, of Jesus being willing to go to the cross for us. Father, help us to get beyond us and look at others and have a compassion for others and have the passion, Father, to preach the good news to others. Father, I pray that there will be people all around Ukraine and all around Kefilov that would come to know Jesus. That there would be so many baptisms the way Paul was baptized, Father, that the world would set up and take notice and that you would be glorified, Father. May we glorify you, Lord, in all we do. May we glorify you as we sing. May we glorify you, Father, when we pray. May we glorify you, Father, in everything we do in our lives. May we glorify you at the gas pumps, in the grocery stores, wherever we're at, Father. May we stand up for Jesus. Bless the people of Ukraine. Bless those, Father, that are striving so hard to serve you. Bless Luda. Help her, Father, that she continues to go out and help those that can't help themselves. Thank you. Thank you for Sasha. Help him to continue to be bold and to stand up and preach the good news of Jesus. Help the man who wrote about the good news being attacked to understand what the good news really is, the good news of Jesus, who came into this world for that person and all the people like him and all the people like us, all the people everywhere, Father, could know Jesus. Father, help us to be light in the world. Help the Ukrainian Christians to be lights. Help the Kefilov Christians to be lights. All the Alaskans, all the Americans, all the world of Christians, Father, to be lights wherever they are. Help us, Father, to stand up for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.